I know it's not the first of the year, but I love the New Year's sermon. This is so much fun to get up here and just lay it out there for the first of the year. Everything's fresh and new for the new year. I got my new Desiring God calendar that came in the mail. Nothing in it. June, it's wide open. July, there's a camp out, but other than that, it's wide open. There's nothing going on in August. Well, I got an anniversary here, but other than that, my calendar hasn't been written on yet. That's really cool. Some of you guys journal. How many of you journal? Some of you will start new journaling books, new journaling, whatever you call them, journaling things, at the first of the year, or you'll make a new entry on a new page, and it's January 1st, 2008, and you're going, oh, so excited. Or some of you will start a brand new. It's like when you're in third grade and you get a brand new spiral notebook and you open it the very first time, very first page of a spiral notebook, upper right-hand corner, January 1st, 2008. And then I have bad penmanship, so you can't read anything after that. But at least my January 1st, 2008 is readable. Maybe you have a goal to start a new Bible reading plan for 2008 and you tried to do a good job in 2007, and 2008 you kind of, or 2007 you bogged down a little bit, so 2008 is going to be a brand new year. So new goals, new objectives, all those kind of things. I just love this sermon. New bathroom scale. Mine's broken. It can't be right. And there's a new one going on sale at Costco in a couple of weeks, $4 off. And so I'm going to go buy that one, see if it tells me something different than the one told me yesterday, because mine's got to be broken. Maybe not. I want to bring our attention this morning to and focus into the area of planning for 2008. Planning in all areas of our lives. The title of the sermon is Plan to Plan in 2008. And the song we sang just before this one almost made me change my title, because we sang, I am changed in the presence of a mighty God. And I wrote down, maybe I should have titled this sermon Plan to Change instead of Plan to Plan in 2008. So however you want to look at it, the key word is plan or planning or planned or will plan or something like that. As many times as I say plan, if some of you kids want to keep track of that, that's good. And I want to bring our attention into that. Our memory verse for today is one that many of us know. It's Proverbs 14:15. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. A simple man believes anything, whatever they're told they believe, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. And table talk questions, there's going to be, I've got three of them, you'll probably come up with many more, some better than I did. Why is ongoing planning so important? Underline the word ongoing. Why should you plan if God is at work and he's going to work it all out anyway? And thirdly, list three areas you would like to improve on in your planning this year. Want to break this down. Planning for physical necessities is a fairly easy thing to describe. All of us plan to some extent to care for our physical needs. We do it all the time. We do it every day. What am I going to have for breakfast? You know, what am I going to wear to work, or what am I going to put on today to wear? It's 4 o'clock. My husband's going to be home from work in an hour and a half. What am I going to serve for dinner? I know that never happens in any homes. Can you imagine planning to build a house? And you order all the materials and for the house, all the wood and everything. You have it delivered and set there, and the excavator comes in and goes, The plan said that's where I'm supposed to dig the basement, right where your materials are that you delivered. What happened? Failure to plan. Didn't plan correctly. The materials were supposed to go over here so that the excavation could be done here, but they were just put right there. Failure to plan. And so, in our lives, nothing but the most basic things in life happen without planning. I mean, even today, coming to church, there was that, you go find her shoes. Has anybody seen my Bible? Or Dad, 5 minutes. We're leaving in 5 minutes. A couple guys laughing, a couple moms cringing because You know, we're leaving in 5 minutes. I'm starting to walk towards the car right now. The car's on. It's time to go. Nothing but the most basic things in life happen without planning. Time management experts and many of the magazines on the shelf in December and January are filled with things that and answers for time planning in 2008. They will say things like, if you're going to plan in 2008, you better make a list. Make a list. You better be a list maker if you're going to succeed in 2008. And then you better prioritize that list, making sure that the most important things are at the top of the list and then on down. And then they have all kinds of fun stuff. The single best way to lose weight in 2008. And it's not what you eat. Did you know that? It's not what you eat that's going to help you lose weight. Guilt-free comfort foods. 18 yummy recipes. Eliminate the clutter in your home for good. We have a joke as a family. When we go through the checkout line, there's certain magazines you don't look at that are there that are just trash, but there are certain ones that always have Good Housekeeping, Family Circle, always have the thing on there about, it's like losing weight, eliminating clutter in your home, a walking program. What else is on there? There's always a new fashion thing's always on there, and it's like as they put the magazines together, it's like a rubber stamp for how it's going to happen every single month. But somehow or other, people buy them, including us, every once in a while. Eliminate the clutter in your home for good. A cleaner house in 5 minutes. Six tips. Six sneaky tips from Heloise. That's in the January issue if you need to read that. 7 days to a new dress size. 7 days to a new dress size. I know how long. Yeah, that's right. 7 days to a new dress size. I know how long it takes to lose a pant size. I can't imagine losing a dress size in 7 days, but there's a way to do that. Walk it off. Fat blasting winter workouts. Walk it off. Easy meals to please your family that you can make in 3 minutes or less. Ride. All in 2008. Five surefire investments for 2008 that will allow you to retire rich at the age of 50. Sure. Get the promotion at work you deserve. While lists and cleaner houses and making plans for the future and being responsible with your money are all very important and a necessary part of everyday life, I just want to challenge us today that there's more to planning than just your physical necessities. And that's what we're going to spend our time on today. I'm not discounting or saying that planning for your physical needs aren't important. They're very important, and we need to plan for those. But we need to plan for our spiritual needs. And we don't have overheads today. Most of it's in your notes, and you can look at. I want to zero in on planning for our spiritual necessities in 2008. Am I taking my spiritual needs as seriously as all those ridiculous lists that I just listed? Am I taking it just as seriously? Are you spending as much time planning for effective ministry as a household, as an embassy of the kingdom of God, as you do in planning to make a living or to manage your household? I don't want to challenge you, and I want to challenge me in, as we look towards 2008, to set aside some time to plan in three critical areas, and they're listed in the bulletin. Plan your life of prayer. Plan your devotional life, and plan your ministry opportunities, focusing in on those three areas as it relates to spiritual necessity. It's a shame that when God's Spirit shows up sometimes to do a work in our hearts, that our heart and our life is so cluttered up with junk, and I'm not talking about just the physical junk, I'm talking about the spiritual junk, that He has to move aside in order to begin to speak to us about some things that we need to work on. And so we have too much of whatever, you fill in the blank, for the Holy Spirit to really do a work, and I want to spend some time on that today. I want us to look today at four examples from the Bible of planning. And I've borrowed this from a lot of different sources and things like that, but let's look at, first of all, from Proverbs, some scriptures about planning. Secondly, from the Apostle Paul. Thirdly, from God Himself. And fourthly, from Jesus. Planning in the Proverbs. First of all, that's the first place we'll look. And And many of us know many of these verses, and it does talk very specifically about planning. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest." So we look at that verse and we say, what does an ant do? What does an ant do? They plan ahead in the summer and in the harvest so that in the winter there's food. If an ant knows that it needs to plan ahead, instinct, whatever, that it needs to plan ahead so that it doesn't starve, what should the lesson be for us? From this verse, I believe it's plan ahead. Plan ahead. Look out into the future. Think long term. Ask yourself, if I'm doing this right now, what impact is it going to have in the future? If I'm spending my time doing this right now, what impact is that going to have 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road? So plan ahead and think long term. Proverbs 14:15, our memory verse, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. A wise person looks ahead to where he's going. A foolish person or a simple person doesn't. A simple person focuses on the immediate things right in front of him and gives no thought to the future. When that happens, you're at the mercy of other people. It's whatever anybody says at the moment that seems to be the best thing to do, because you're not planning ahead. Somebody says, it seems good that you should do this. And somebody else says, it seems good you should do that. And you follow the last person in what they say. That's being, not being prudent. That's being simple. People will counsel you about how you're going to be happy in the future. And if you're not planning ahead, you don't see how that fits in. Boundaries end up being put around you because you can't or will not put them around yourself. Think about that. When you don't plan ahead, boundaries are put around you because you can't think far enough ahead. It's 11 o'clock, teenager. Probably time to turn the lights off and go to bed. Why? Because you won't be able to get up in the morning. All you're thinking about is right now, and this is what I want to do right now. Think ahead. Planning ahead. It's like a person driving a car. If you don't plan, it's like a person driving a car that drives right at the end of the hood. You ever seen anybody like that out there on the road? They drive right at the end of the hood. Like this. They don't use any of the available resources, the side mirrors, the rear view mirror. Have a relative in our family who, I won't say who it is, not in our immediate family, it's in our extended family, so it's nobody here that attends this church, who I can come up behind on the road, and unless I absolutely lay on the horn like there's an accident or this person is in my way and needs to move, will not use the rear view mirror. I mean, I could follow this person. Notice I'm gender neutral here. I could follow this person all over Milwaukee, and this person will not use the rearview mirror. They live in Milwaukee. That's part of it. That's right. That's right. They know their way around. Why should they? Why should they do that? But think ahead. Look down the road. Think of all a person is missing by not using the available resources, the rear view mirror, the side mirrors, looking down the road to see that the road's going to come to an end. There's whatever it is. A wise person looks ahead. A simple person believes anything. A wise person plans ahead. A wise person considers what the day ahead will hold and considers how best to prepare for them. Consideration and preparation are both a part of planning for 2008. You consider and you prepare. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." I don't believe this means that you go to somebody, and then to somebody else, and to somebody else, and to somebody else until you get the answer you want. I believe there's a multitude of counselors that will come to bear. A lot of times, those counselors may all be in the room at the same time. I have a picture of somebody coming up to be prayed for, and there's a group of people gathered around them, and they pray. And then as they're praying, it kind of unfolds. It would seem like the Lord is saying this at this time. And the other person there says, I'm sensing that too. I'm sensing that perhaps this is a direction you should consider. And there's kind of an agreement among those multitude of counselors that are right there. It's not counselor shopping, right? Talk to you a little bit, and I say, Nick, what does this seem right? And then I say, I don't like your answer. So then I go to Paul, and I say, Paul, does this seem right? You know, I'm going to a multitude of counselors. Luke, what do you think? What should I do? And then, you know, Mark, how, you know, I like Mark's answer. I'm going with that one right there. That's not what this verse says. Without counsel, plans fail. You know, in this verse, planning is taken for granted. It's taken for granted that you are going to plan. It's not telling you to plan. It said, while you're planning, this writer assumes that you're planning and you're giving advice and there's a plan to succeed. He's saying that none of us are good in this planning when we do it independent of each other. No lone rangers in this congregation. We plan together. We get advice, we get counsel, and then we move out. Try being a three-driver family in a two-car home and see how good planning works. It doesn't. It doesn't. Some of you are there. Some of you aren't there yet, but you will be. To be a three-driver family in a two-car home requires some pretty, you know, intense planning. I mean, the easy option, the expensive option, is to buy a third car, pay for the insurance and all that kind of stuff. The more difficult thing is to manage that schedule, but it requires planning every week. This verse challenges us. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. This verse challenges us to read the wisdom of other people, talk to other people, and talk to wise counselors, and watch how other people do things to learn how to do them. There's only one thing my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, Bob, if you're listening to this on the internet, which would be a first time if you've done that, but if you are, the only thing he's ever admitted to me that he couldn't put together on his own without instructions was one of those big gas barbecue grills. Now they assemble them for you at the store and you buy them, but they used to just give them to you in a box. And he could assemble anything without directions until he got to the gas barbecue grill. And he couldn't do that. But so looking, reading what others have done, experts have done, sometimes it's a little tough to read, but listening to experts. You know what? I would have thought, where's Mick? I would have thought that when you roof a house with rain coming from the clouds down, you would start the shingles at the top and work down to the gutter. Until I sat on a roof with somebody years ago and watched them start at the gutter and work their way up. Am I right? You start the gutter and you work your way up. I was going to check this before the service started to make sure that I wasn't telling somebody how to roof. But you don't start at the top. It makes sense, doesn't it, that you'd start at the top because rain falls from the top, rain falls down, you start at the top, but you start at the gutter and work your way up. But you know that because you rely on an expert who you can sit next to who knows how to do it. And they just say, put the shingles right here. Lay them out, and they come through, and they staple them. Put the shingles here like that, and the whole roof gets roofed. So, read the wisdom of others, take the advice of others, and use wise counselors. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Again, planning here is taken for granted. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans are going to be established. The plans have lasting value. Why? Because you commit them to the Lord. Your plans will have lasting value. The plans that you have for 2008 will have lasting value because you commit them to the Lord. Allow the Lord to guide your plans, and your planning will be profitable. Seems like a cliche to say that. Let God guide your plans, and your plans will be. But that's exactly right. It's exactly the way it is. James addresses this in James chapter 4. Verses 13 through 15, when he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Commit your plans to the Lord in 2008 and say, if the Lord wills, we'd like to do this or that. Some specific examples where I think we should challenge ourselves to do this in 2008. One is in child rearing. If the Lord wills, commit those plans to the Lord in child rearing. Make some specific goals for raising your children in 2008. And guess what? Each one is unique and different and needs special goals just for them. Does that make sense? Each child is unique and different. Those of you that have one child, you got it made. Piece of cake. Well, those of you who have two or more, multiple goals, multiple children, multiple personalities. I said that wrong, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Better communication with your spouse in 2008. There's a great goal, and that'll have many different things. Young person, is this God's person for me? Commit that to the Lord. Where am I supposed to go to college? Am I supposed to take this job or that job? Always seek the Lord's guidance and His strength in your planning. Trust the wisdom of the Lord, not your own. When you trust the wisdom of the Lord and not your own, this is fruit-bearing planning. Fruit-bearing. Think long-term and think fruit-bearing planning in your life and in your home. Be a fruit-bearing planner. Plan with fruit in mind. Plan with fruit in mind. Don't plan haphazardly. This verse challenges us to plan. When we commit our way to the Lord, we're planning with fruit in mind. I don't know. Just doesn't cut it for fruit-bearing planning. Come up to somebody. What are you going to do this year? What goals and objectives do you have? I don't know. Doesn't cut it. You got a couple of days to figure it out before January 1st. That's why we're doing it this Sunday instead of next Sunday. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Back then, get a field, work the field, support yourself with a productive field, and then establish your household. Today, especially to young men, you ready for this? Get a job or start a business. Take a wife. Build a household in that order. There's a plan and there's an order to it. There's a biblical pattern to follow. Get a job. Start a business. Take a wife. Build a household. Can't leave the ladies out, so let's turn to Proverbs 31, verses 15 and 16. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and tasks for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. I know I read this verse and some of you cringe and go, she rises while it is yet night. Oh no, please. That's got to be contextual. That's got to be somehow that was done back in that time, and that doesn't mean right now. And I'm not going to dwell on that portion of the verse. What I want to say is two things. She gets up early and she assigns tasks to her maidens. No pre-planning back then would mean no assigned tasks, right? No pre-planning, no thinking ahead. Today, she has a chore list for her family, right? Amen. Has a chore list. It's posted on the refrigerator. This child does this on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This child does this. Every time the trash needs to be taken out, this child is responsible. You get bathroom one, you get bathroom two. You know, that's how a well-ordered house is supposed to be run. And I believe that's what it's talking about here. The housewife thinks ahead and said, this is how we're going to have a well-ordered household. Don't laugh at me back there. The second part of the verse says she considers a field. What is she considering in this verse? When she considers a field, she's considering how that field is going to fit in with the household estate, the management of the household. How does this work with that? If we do this as a family, how does that fit with this? If we have all of our kids in ballet and piano lessons and basketball and this and this and this, how does that fit in with reading, writing, and arithmetic here? If we're involved in everything every night of the week, how does that fit in with quality family time together? In this, she considers a field. She knows how different things fit into the household plan. And productivity will increase, and the household will be better provided for because of the forethought and planning of the Proverbs 31 woman and all of you housewives right here that are listening today. So what do we conclude from the Proverbs? Careful planning is a part of what makes a person wise and productive. If you're a careful planner, you're wise and you're productive. When you don't plan, it's considered foolish and dangerous. Poor or no planning means poor or no fruit. Do you like the fruit from 2007? I bet if you traced it back, there's some good plans that went with that fruit. If you don't like the fruit from 2007, I bet if you go back and you trace, the plans were not well established for 2007, and they can be for 2008. But you say, I thought the Lord was ultimately in control of everything. I don't need a calendar. Why do I need a calendar? I can remember it off the top of my head, so I missed an appointment here and there. He is ultimately in control. Proverbs 16:9, after all, says, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Why do I need to plan? The Lord's going to direct my steps. I think that's a foolish response to that verse also. The Lord is ultimately in control of everything, as we heard today from the open mic, very strongly about the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in every area of our lives, even when it's difficult and tough. We plan and we ask the Lord to establish and confirm our plans for His purposes and for His glory. That's why we plan, for His purposes and for His glory. So is the Proverbs the only place that it talks about planning? No. The Apostle Paul does too. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 15. I put just a short piece of it into the bulletin, but I want to read the whole section because the Apostle Paul is demonstrates planning in just a real graphic way here. Romans 15, beginning in verse 20. He says, and thus I make it my ambition or my plan to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, therefore, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of service to them in material things, material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. We see in this passage that planning is an essential part of productive ministry. If you're going to have productive ministry in your own life personally and in your home, planning is a very important part of it. Paul tells us that planning is critical. Often we see this as a public ministry thing. I hope the church is planning for the future. I hope the church is planning for a summer mission trip this year. I hope the church is planning an outreach to our neighbors. So a lot of times we just push our planning, especially as it relates to the church, off to the church and say, hope the church is doing this, hope the church is doing this. We kind of break the mold here at Household of Faith because a lot of stuff percolates from the members in the congregation, and we all get to benefit from that, like our New Year's Eve party that we'll have. It also applies equally to our personal ministry. You know, the Apostle Paul had a general plan or a guideline. He says in this, I want to preach Christ where Christ has not been preached before. That's my plan. He said, that's what I'm going to do. My plan is to preach Christ where Christ hasn't been preached before. So from that general plan, he came up with some very specific things. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to take a gift to Jerusalem. Then I'm going to go to Rome, and I'm going to establish a base there. And then I'm going to go to Spain. That's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. The interesting thing is, as far as we know, he never made it. And his plan fell through. He got arrested in Jerusalem. He went to Rome as a prisoner, and he never got to Spain. But that was his plan. That's what he was going to do. Just like in Proverbs, we see that God is the one who finally makes the future for us. God is the one who establishes what's going to happen, ultimately, not us. But we plan, nevertheless. God uses plans, even if he changes them. Even if he changes them, God uses the plans that we make. In fact, if Paul had never gone to Rome, who knows, the book of Romans may never have been written if he had never gone there. So the key here is planning is crucial to Christian living and your ministry, even with when God overruling the plans that you've made or you've done. Planning is critical to both Christian living and your ministry. Does God plan? In the third place, does God plan? God is perfect, and he knows everything. That's a question we might ask. Does he plan? Look at these three passages of Scripture that are in your notes. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I will accomplish all my plans. God has plans. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. God, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. He had a plan. He has a plan from the fullness of time. So God plans. Acts 2:23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Yes, God absolutely plans. God is perfect. God knows everything, but he absolutely plans. And since he plans, I mean, I'm going to make just a short leap here, but since he plans, probably makes sense that I do too. You know, just kind of overstating the obvious, I suppose. Planning should not be a hit and miss thing or only when I feel like it. Planning is vital to a healthy Christian walk. Make planning a more important part of 2008 because planning provides the balance that we all need. Don't we all get to the point where we're going so fast, we just say, stop! What can we eliminate from our calendar that isn't absolutely critical? What can we say no to just for a season and then kind of get back into a good family rhythm? And I think it's good to do that because planning is vital for a healthy Christian life. Planning provides that balance that we need, and it keeps us out of dangerous ditches. Too much, too little, not enough, too much, all those kind of things. Fourthly, the planning of Jesus. Jesus had a mission to accomplish. He came to earth to die. That was his plan. That was God's plan from before the foundation of the earth, that he was going to come to die and to redeem us. When his own mother asked him to do a miracle at the wedding of Cana, what does he say? My hour has not yet come. That's not part of the plan right now, he said. My hour has not yet come. But when the time came, it says he set his face toward Jerusalem. And he was steadfast because he was obeying the Father, and there was a definite plan that he was walking out. He planned to die. He planned with you and I in mind, if you know him as personal Lord and Savior. He planned with you in mind. So, conclusions. Plan. Just want to challenge me and you. Challenge you to plan the most important things in your life. Plan the most important things in your life. I got about six of them here. Plan how you're going to spend more time. If you're married, plan how you're going to spend more time with your spouse in 2008. Plan how you're going to spend more time with your spouse. one of the best ways that we have kind of a built-in date as a church is our family rooms that will start on Wednesday night, January 23rd. Plan to take your spouse to the family room. Starts at 7 o'clock, which means you can go out to dinner with your spouse, get a bite to eat, or go out with a couple of couples, but plan to spend some time together, either as a, on a date or as a couple's night out. And it's built in. January 23rd is a good one. Secondly, plan how you're going to spend time playing with and educating your children. Dad, what will the first hour or hour and 15 minutes look like in 2008 when you come home from work? What will it look like when you come home? Will it be different than in 2007? Do you have a good pattern established when you first come home from work, or do you need to establish a new pattern in 2008 in playing with, loving, connecting with, educating, encouraging your children when you walk in the door? Thirdly, plan how you're going to get the correct amount of exercise. This is so hard, but it is so important. Plan to get the correct amount of exercise in 2008. And I speak to myself as well as anybody who wants to receive that, because I need to receive that. Number four, plan how you're going to get enough sleep. Some of us are all over the place on our sleep patterns and need to plan to get the correct amount of sleep in 2008. Fifthly, plan how you're going to eat and how you're going to limit yourself in 2008. And sixthly, plan your vacation so that you get the rest and the renewal that you need. Some people spend more time planning their 2 weeks of vacation than they do their spiritual walk for the coming year. I'm just saying, bring balance to it. Bring balance to all areas of your life and plan for all areas of your life. And be sure to plan, while you're planning for vacation, be sure to plan for the Household of Faith Milwaukee campout in July. We don't want to miss that. Everybody that can come. What day does that start? July 19th. Thank you. Seventhly, plan to make prayer and meditation on the Word an important part of your life. I'll put on the back table, I said earlier in the year, we have enjoyed so much this Bible reading plan from Bethlehem Baptist Church, and I've got about 15 or 20 copies of that. It takes you in 4 different passages of the Scriptures every day. I like that it has 25 days in every month, so you have 5 catch-up days. You don't have 31 days of reading on when there's a 30-day month and stuff like that. They've got 5 catch-up days so you can catch up and stay on track, and it's good. If this is too ambitious for bookmark 1, 2, 3, and 4, consider bookmarks 3 and 4. That'll take you through the New Testament. Bookmarks 1 and 2 will take you through the Old Testament. Just consider a Bible reading plan like this. Here's one that dates back to 1842, Robert Murray McShane. I've got some copies of that. That is, this will take you through 4 portions of the Scripture each day. You read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament and the Psalms twice in a year. Pretty ambitious plan, but I'll put those back on the back table if you want to look at this. Some of us will purchase a 1-year Bible and read a 1-year Bible just like this, where you'll start and it'll say January, it's March 23rd. I'm supposed to read Numbers 36:1, and it's all right there. So whatever version you choose, this one happens to be ESV, but maybe a 1-year Bible is something you can do. Change your routines in 2008 to give consistent time to prayer, meditation, and Bible reading. We're going to spend the next few weeks talking about the means of grace. The means of grace in our lives. And I'm not even going to get into that other than prayer is one of them. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Make planning a regular part of your life. A couple of final thoughts. Don't let this year slip by and send it into default mode. So easy to put our lives into default mode. And about the time we wake up from default mode, it's March or April. So don't slip into default mode at the first of the year. Be purposeful about what you do and why you do it. Live this whole year for the glory of God. Another thing, too, it doesn't really work to plan tonight and tomorrow and say that that's going to do for the next year. It's an ongoing. Set aside time each week to plan. especially your life of prayer and your study of the Word. Make that a priority to set that plan in place. Things like, what will I read this week? What will I pray for this week? What passages of Scripture am I going to meditate on? What letters need to be written? What calls need to be made? Who should I invite over to our home for hospitality? What unsaved person should I pray for this week? Where will I take my wife on a date? In 2008. That rhymes. I have to remember that. Where should I take my daughter on a date in the next 30 days? Where should we go? Did you know that you can take your daughter on a date to the Pittock Mansion for free? Dads, did you know that? Did you know that you can take your daughter to the, is it the Japanese garden? I think the Japanese gardens for free. Just go to the library, reserve the pass, and you don't, it's just gas to get up to Pittock Mansion. And what daughter wouldn't want to go to the Pittock Mansion with her dad? What daughter wouldn't want to do that? Make that a plan. Make that a part of 2008. Be very specific. We've seen planning all the way through Proverbs, the Apostle Paul. God plans. Jesus plans. Set his face towards Jerusalem. And for one of the most loving plans of all, and that was to rescue us from hell. God planned for our joy. We need to plan in 2008 for his glory. He planned for your joy. You need to plan for 2008. I want to do a better job of planning in 2008 in all areas of my life. And I want us to hold each other accountable for that. Let's do that. Let's hold each other accountable for that. How's your 2008 plan going? Guy to guy, have you taken your wife on a date yet? Wife to wife, what have you done to bless your husband? How are you doing on getting that meal ready before, the meal idea ready before 4 o'clock at night when he's showing up 45 minutes from now or an hour from now? And, you know, encourage each other in those things. And mostly, pray for each other. Encourage each other in the Word. Speak the Scriptures to each other in 2008. And just continue to grow in that area. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's so easy to look at 2008 as a brand new year, and yet we can get lazy and not want to be all that we can be for you and for your glory. Father, I pray that you would give us a fresh awareness of your Word, a fresh start, as it were, on making plans that would glorify you. Forgive us when we just plan the basics like food and clothing and shelter, and we neglect the spiritual needs in our own families. We thank you for, Heavenly Father, for your provision at the cross to redeem and rescue and ransom us. Thank you for your plan from eternity to come and send your Son to die for us. And we take this communion bread and this cup now as a reminder of your broken body and your shed blood for us. In Jesus' name, amen.